Well, I was wanting to talk to you today about the hands of God. The hands of God. You know, I'm glad that there is an unseen hand that leads me through this weary land. Amen. There is a hand that guides me. There's a hand that created me. There's a hand that contains me, that lifts me up. There's a hand that chastises me. He carries me, but he catches me. I praise God for the hand of God. And that's what I want to share with you a message about today. Before you head out to church or as you're on your way, just remember that even though the world is falling apart, even though things seem to be out of control, nothing is out of God's hands. Just a few quick points about God's hand. The first thing, God's hands created man. God's hands created man. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Do you remember the debate? Did you see it? Did you have any opportunity to hear the debate between Bill Nye and Ken Ham that was so talked about over television and the internet and this, that, and the other? Had a chance to watch that debate. And the whole idea was, did God create everything, or did it just always exist, or did it come out of nothing on its own? Well, I'm here to tell you, I believe that God created all that there is. He spoke it into existence. But when he spoke everything, he left one thing out that he did not speak into existence. He formed man with his hands. He didn't just speak us into existence. He formed us. He molded us. And then he breathed into us life. God created us. We are special in his eyes. We are different from anything else in the world. We didn't come from the same amoeba that everything else has supposedly come from, according to the scientists, not according to the Bible. We didn't all come from that one original little spark of life caused by some lightning hitting some muck in the middle of darkness. No, we came into a perfect world created by God that he spoke into existence, but then he took the dust of that earth and then he formed it with his hands and made a living soul. And folks, I'm glad that God created me. When I look at my life, when I look at my body, when I look at the world around me, when I see the things that God has made, I can give him glory. I can praise him because he is a good God and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He also contains the believer with his hands. He contains the believer. Look over, and if you have a Bible handy, if you want to turn to it, and you want to turn to the book of John, chapter 10 and verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one." Jesus is speaking here, and he's saying he and his Father are one. He said, we are in his hand, he is in his Father's hands, and no one is going to snatch us out of his hand. God's hand created us. God's hand contains us. He contains the believer. He holds us. He keeps us. I'm so glad that in this world that we live in, no matter what we go through, no matter how far we go, no matter what we do to ourselves, no matter what we do to others, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we are eternally secure in his hand. I know that goes against the theology of some of you that may be listening, but this is the way I see it. God shed his blood for me. He bought me. He purchased me. And when he took that possession into his hand, he said, devil, he said, whoever, whatever they may be, princes, powers, whatever in this world, nothing is going to take what I purchased with my son's blood out of my hand. It is mine. And you know what? Just like my little child, I got three girls and they're all pretty much grown now, but when they were little, I can tell you one thing. They had a mind of their own at times, and sometimes they wanted to walk out across a street, or they wanted to run out in front of a car, or they wanted to go do something that wasn't safe. And when I was holding their hand, they would jerk and they would squirm. But you know what? I did not let them go simply because it was their will. No, my will for their safety. My will, because of my love, overpowered their will because I was their dad. And guess what? We have a heavenly Father who says, I don't care how much you want to sin. I don't care what kind of direction you want to go in. I don't care if you want to leave the faith. I don't care if you want to leave me. If you're bought with my blood, if you're my family, I'm not letting you go. You're in my hand. You're not going anywhere. Praise God that He created me and He contains me. But you know what? Just as a father on earth will do, if he truly loves his children, he also chastises his child with his hand. God chastises us. He created us, he contains us, and he gives us whippings. If you've never been whooped by God, you've never had a whipping. I know what a spanking is, and I'm all for them. Now, that might get me in trouble with somebody. I know it's a hard thing to talk about nowadays. You get in trouble when you talk about spankings. You can't even pat a child on the rear end and make them whimper without the threat of going to jail. You know, there's gone are the days when you can just say, excuse me, we got to take our child to the vestibule because he won't be quiet. And then you hear a little bit of some noise out there in the back of the church, and then the child comes back in with a few tears, and they sit down, and they don't cause any trouble. Gone are those days. Gone are the days when a parent can go into a store, and the child starts screaming and crying and pitching a fit for a toy, and the parent takes off the belt, takes it to the child's rear, and the child just decides it doesn't need that toy anymore. Gone are the days when a parent can discipline a child, as the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Gone are those days, at least in the public eye. Why? You can't spank a child. You can't chastise a child in any way. That's not what God says. That's not how God treats us. No matter what law is passed, no matter what we think about our faith, no matter what we think about what we do and what we don't do, God says, if you're mine, I will whip you. I will chastise you. As a matter of fact, he says, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord chasteneth thee. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. You know what? One of the biggest problems that we have in our country today regarding crime, with regards to juvenile delinquency, we have parents that don't discipline their children. They don't love them, folks. They don't love them. Well, I love my kids. I don't want to touch them. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to make them cry. Well, if you don't make them cry now, folks, guess what's going to happen? They're going to make you cry as you're an adult and as they're an adult. They're going to make you cry as you watch them go to prison. As you watch their marriages fall apart, as you watch them commit crimes, as you watch them be fools in a world that wants to see them destroyed and eaten alive. Folks, you better discipline your children. That's why God disciplines us. He wants to instruct us. He wants to give us wisdom. He wants us to learn the difference between right and wrong, and he'll take a belt or a switch to our backside, if necessary, to get it into our heads. And folks, that's hard preaching, I know, and like I said, it may get me in trouble, but you know what? I've been praying for revival. I've been praying to be filled with the Spirit, to be yielded to Him, and to speak truth without fear of man, and that's what I'm doing right now. You need to hear this. Somebody needs to hear this. We need to be adults with a backbone. We need to quit being yellow-livered, yellow-spined cowards and actually stand up for what's right, regardless of what the world, the media, the government, and everybody else says. Get a backbone, folks. Be Christian. Go by what God's Word says. Be parents. Instruct your children. Tell them there's a difference between right and wrong. God gives us His Word. He's written it down. If it's necessary, write it down for your kids. And when it comes time to discipline, let them know they're getting disciplined. Don't let there be any mistake. Do it in love, but let it be something they remember. Because I guarantee you one thing, when God chastens you, you will remember it. Because He wants you to live in peace. He wants what's best for you. And praise God for the hand of God that chastises. But you know what? God's hand also carries the broken. God's hand carries the broken. Look, if you would, over into Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. You know what? There's a story about how a shepherd sometimes will have to wound a sheep so that that sheep will then have to be carried by the shepherd. You know what? When God does that to us, when God does chastise us, sometimes He has to do that in such a way that we aren't capable of running off. And what happens next is He draws us close. He keeps us up next to His bosom. He wraps His arms around us. And many times He does that using the church. He uses someone in the church to come along beside you, wrap their arms around you in the name of the Lord, and love you like you didn't want to be loved in the first place. And when that happens, you grow to love the love. You want to be around it even more. And then when you're healed, you will not want to run away. I'm so glad that God carries the broken. I'm glad that when we are broken, we have the strong arm of God that comes along and scoops us up and says, I won't leave you behind. I'll carry you as a good shepherd, as a father would. How many times has your children, if you have children, when they stumbled and fall, when they fell down and they skint their knee, did you just look at them and say, hey, get up and walk. You don't have to be carried. When they lift up their arms to you and they say, pick me up, and tears are in their eyes, what kind of parent just says, oh, I don't want to pick you up. You just keep walking. So many times we just pick them up and hold them while they cry. We carry them even when they get a little bit bigger, don't we? Because we love them and they want to be loved. I'm so glad that we have a God that does that for us too, aren't you? He created us. He contains us. He chastises us. He carries us. And He catches us. As I was thinking about this earlier, David said, I mentioned this, 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 13. David said, let me fall into the hand of the Lord. He said, don't let me fall into the hands of man. When God was disciplining David, He gave him an option. And he said, I don't want to fall into the hands of man. Let me fall into the hands of God, even though it was God that was going to discipline him. He said, let me fall into His hand. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10:31 that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But you know, it's those hands that catch us when we stumble. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 37, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. You know, there's going to come times when we stumble. The Bible says that though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. I'm so thankful that the hand of God will not let me be utterly cast down. We're on a walk, we're on a journey, and you know, God's arms around me, God's holding my hand. But sometimes, just like when we're walking with our children, using that analogy again, sometimes when you're walking with your child, you'll be holding their hand, and their steps aren't as sure as yours, walking over some rough terrain, maybe going hiking through the woods, and they stumble a little bit. Maybe one of their knees hits the ground, but you know what? As long as you're holding their hand, they don't utterly fall. And I'm so glad that my Father still holds my hand. And even though I stumble, even though you stumble, tell me, are you one of those people who never stumble? Are you one of those people who never fall at all? Are you one of those people who, even when you're trying to do what's right, walking down the right path, your feet get a little bit, you have two left feet and you stumble a little bit and you trip. Have you ever made mistakes even when you're trying to do the right thing? Aren't you glad that God still holds your hand? Aren't you glad that God is still carrying you? Aren't you glad that God is not going to let you utterly fall? Praise the Lord for that. That gives me hope. That gives me reassurance that I can continue to go on, can keep moving forward, knowing that even when I stumble, God still has me in His hands. Now, I want to wrap up with this. God created man. God contains us. He holds us in His hands. He chastises us because He loves us. He carries us when we're broken, and He catches those who stumble. Praise the Lord. But there's something about that hand that we need to also remember. That's the very same hand that the Bible says will cast the wicked into hell. Folks, it is a fearful hand. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. The message that Jonathan Edwards preached back in 1741, sinners in the hands of an angry God. You need to be aware, folks, if you're not a child of God, that that hand that could be containing you, that hand that could be chastising you and carrying you and catching you when you fall, that hand that could caress you when you're hurting, that hand that will one day wipe away all tears, is the very hand that will cast those that deny His Son into the lake of fire. Not just toss, not just push, cast. And folks, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 94, verse 14, the Lord will not cast off His people. Are you one of His? If you are one of His, then you have the glorious reassurance, the glorious knowledge that even though the world may seem like it is going completely crazy and haywire, it might be falling away everywhere you turn and look, we are still in the hands of God, that unseen hand. At times, we don't know where it's going, we don't know where it's leading, but we are in that hand. We can rest assured of that. But if you're not, you should be afraid. You should be very afraid. Because that hand that was nailed to a cross one day will nail the final coffin, that nail the final nail in your coffin, in your future, when He casts you into the lake of fire. I would say that the wise thing to do would be put your life in His hands now, while He offers you redemption, while He offers you hope, while He wants to become your Father. Let Him do that. Let Him take you and let Him hold you and let Him keep you before it comes to the day where He will cast you away forever. Folks, let's pray. God, I ask that You will take this word and, Lord, drive it down deep into our hearts, and may the message stick where it needs to, and that we will remember who You are and in whose hands we rest. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you again next week.